Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful. Hi, Paul Velleman again to talk about Chapter 8. In Chapter 8, we introduce the least squares linear regression model. There's a lot to say about this, and we're laying foundations for a lot more we're going to say later on. We're going to treat the linear model again in Chapter 9 and again later in the book. Our focus here is on understanding the model and what it tells us, but that still covers a lot of ground. 1. Emphasize the linear model and get students to think about it. We're using a line to model the relationship we see in a scatter plot. For example, you could open the discussion by asking what might constitute a good line to a scatter plot. Talk in general about the model. What would make a good line to describe a scatter plot when the points obviously don't all fit on a line? Here are some points that should come up. First, at the mean of the x variable, we should expect the line to be at the mean of the y variable. In other words, the line should go through the mean-mean point. That should make sense to everybody. That has the line going through the middle of the data. Second, the model line may not pass through any of the points, but it should be close to a lot of them. Small differences between the line and the points are of less concern to us than huge gaps. This is a good time to define a residual. 3. Discuss the goal of finding the best line. Point out that we want to somehow minimize the size of the residuals. And now we can introduce the least squares criterion. Second point, we can find a line from a point and a slope. And we have both. The point on the line is the mean-mean point, and we find the slope from the correlation between the variables and the standard deviations of both variables. Armed with the slope, we can use the known point to produce the equation. That's just high school algebra. 3. Emphasize checking the linearity assumption. Linear regression assumes that the form of the association between the two variables is linear. As is always the case with assumptions, we can't be sure this is true, but we can check to see that it's plausible. We eyeball the scatter plot, or even better, the residuals plot, to see if there's any sign of curvature. The book introduces the straight enough condition, which affirms the assumption and allows us to proceed. It's worth noting that we make this check of the residuals after the fact. First we do the regression, then we look at the residuals to decide whether we should use the model. 4. Always insist on meaningful variable names. Students aren't done until they've written a sentence about the model. And in writing the equations for their models, it's much clearer if they use variable names that say what they mean. 5. Spend time on the interpretation of slope, intercept, and r-squared. Always in context. Insisting on real variable names will help students be clear that we're now working with the data in their natural units. The regression slope is in y units per x unit, and the intercept is in y units. Encourage students to write the phrase y units per x unit and then fill in the name of the y units and the name of the x units. The resulting phrase usually describes well what the regression is about. You'll see phrases like dollars per year of employment or grams of protein per ounce. Often the best interpretation of the intercept is just as a starting value. Caution students that if x equals 0 makes no sense, a baby with zero weight, the economy in the year 0, then the interpretation of the intercept as a predicted value for x equals 0 doesn't make sense either. R-squared is the fraction of variation in y accounted for by the regression model. Emphasize this is the variation that's accounted for. R-squared isn't, for example, the fraction of the points that are fit exactly by the line, because that might well be 0.